Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 731. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is running downstairs because his automatic feeder just went off as it's 11:30 a.m. and his midday meal snack. What was his lunch? It's his lunch. And I don't think you could quite hear the audio. I was trying to break in and record and try to bust out a little intro before that happened, but I failed. It happened while the music was still going, and I don't think I got any of the audio of him, the feeder with its jackpot sound, hitting the food, hitting the metal pan, and then him bolting with his three legs. Sadly. I didn't time it out quite right. It is Saturday, though, as I'm recording this. And during the day, I'm actually off work because they decide not to work us this Saturday because if they would, work would have to give us off the next two Saturdays because, you know what, we've got Labor Day coming up and they can't work us on that weekend. And so in order to not give us two Saturdays off in a row, they gave us off today. And I'll work one Saturday and then be off. I'll be off two followings because I'm off for 9/11. Not because I want to remember. I mean, you know, I'll never forget 9/11. Never forget. Because going to see the comedian Mark Maron on that Saturday. And I didn't want to work that Saturday, so I went ahead and just took off Friday so that I'd get Saturday off. And, I get to see some stand-up comedy. He's going to be over at the pageant. I'll be going with Shelley, so that'll be fun. It's weird not hearing Mark Maron anymore in my head, you know, twice a week. I guess it was more than twice a week because I would take a few days to listen to a podcast because I would just only listen to the podcast really while driving. But of course, Mark Maron's WTF ended last October, and was doing that for 16 years, and I didn't really start listening to it until maybe a year or two into the podcast, so I was on board for like 14 or 15 years, where Mark Maron was in my head all week long, pretty much, with putting out on Mondays and Wednesdays, I believe was his schedule. And I have seen Mark Maron live before. I saw him at the Firebird in St. Louis, which is I'm pretty sure is gone. That club is gone. But I saw him. That's the only comedy show I've been to by myself. But I wanted to go see Maron. And at that time, he hadn't been to St. Louis in many years. And at least during the podcast era, the WTF, I think that might have been his first time being in St. Louis during that era. He would go on at least one or two more times after that, but I just saw him at the Firebird. That was quite a few years ago. That was right after Harold Ramis died. I remember that because it freaked me out because there was a guy in the front row that looked like a dead-on, like Harold Ramis, like young Harold Ramis, like maybe Ghostbusters 1 or like Stripes era Harold Ramis. And it was like really kind of bugging me. I don't know about bugging, but it was just weird. And he was like sitting in the front row and there was a light on the guy. And it was like, holy shit, it is the ghost of Harold Ramis. I don't remember how close it was to when Harold Ramis died, but it was not long after. And it was just weird. If I remember correctly, I had to work the next day. The next morning, so I didn't go and attempt to meet Maron after the show. I don't know that they'll have really much of a chance to do that at the pageant. The Firebird was a smaller club. People were like waiting in line to like meet him after the fact. You know, maybe he'll do that at the pageant. I don't know. But, you know, people that go see a Marin show, especially after, you know, 16 years of WTF, people feel pretty close to the guy, you know. You know so much about a person when you hear them podcast for years on end. And, yeah, it'd be kind of weird to meet Marin because I know all about him and he knows nothing about me. it'll the interesting part about seeing Marin now is that I've gone close to a year without hearing WTF. And because of that, I'm not really sure what's going on in his life. I don't have an update on the cats situation. He's got three or four cats currently. Through the years, he's had many cats. Get to hear about, was it Charlie Beans Roscoe? I forgot all the names of his current cats. Boomer is the one I remember the most, which Boomer disappeared many, many years ago. Of course, that ended, end up being his famous tagline for many years of the podcast was Boomer Lives. But yeah, I love me some Marc Maron. It'll be good to see him live. But because of the fact, again, I haven't heard him podcast in like a year, that I won't know a lot of the stuff that's going on in his life. I occasionally will see him on like Instagram or something, and I'll get somewhat of an update on his cats and such. So I'm not completely out of the loop with Mr. Marin, and he still goes on other people's podcasts. So, you know, he's still alive. He's still kicking. He's still Marin. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. And hey, I get off on 9/11. That sounds kind of fucked up because it sounds like I'm, you know, jerking off to 9/11. I am going to be off work for 9/11. which means I'll have two 3-day weekends in a row. That's going to be, oh, that's exciting. So we got Labor Day. And then, so because of Labor Day, I'll be off, the Monday of the week that I'm taking off that Friday. So I'm only working a couple of days that week. That's going to be fantastic. And I was tempted, though, because there was an announcement. I don't remember what day this week. It was a Monday or Tuesday or something of that nature. It was early, mid this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, fuck, I don't remember what day. They announced, I guess it was Tuesday they announced it, that the Foo Fighters are opening for AC/DC in St. Louis. I believe it's at the Edward Jones Dome still. But it was, the dome in St. Louis where, of course, the Rams once played. And Stan Kroenke fucked everybody in St. Louis. Anyway. the Foo Fighters opening for AC/DC at the dome. And that is going to be on September 8th, which is unfortunately a Tuesday. And they just announced it this week. I was like, son of a bitch, man. Like, I still need to see like the Foo Fighters live. And it'd be cool to see AC/DC, even though they're really old. And I don't even know how many original members are still left. Angus Young, obviously, still there. I'm not sure obviously Bon Scott's been gone for a long time. The original drummer, I believe, might still be in jail. I believe there's murder for hire plot. Was it killing his... He was trying to get his wife or girlfriend, somebody he was trying to get killed in a murder for hire sting that led to him. I don't remember the details on that. I'd have to do some Google searching. That would require me to, you know, type a lot in here. Get the audio. Well, I mean, I guess I could do it on my phone to be silent. So, damn it, I'm going to have to look it up. but AC/DC, Foo Fighters opening up for them, and man, you could get some cheaper tickets when they announced it. I'm pretty sure it's already like pretty much sold out. It was, let's see here. Oh, he avoided prison. Oh, it's a former employee that he tried to. but he was arrested again in 2015. Let's see here. Murder for hire. Maybe I'll just cite that. It was dropped. It was dropped though. So I guess I thought he had gone to jail, but apparently not. but yeah, the show in St. Louis, again, that is the week of 9/11. And I was already going to be off for that. And, you know, Labor Day is, that is the day after fucking Labor Day. I'd have to get vacation for that. Which makes it very, I couldn't call in is what I'm saying. Which the day, I wouldn't want to take off that Tuesday. I'd want to take off that Wednesday because again, it's a late night. I wouldn't need to take off work during the day, the day of, I'd want the day off after it. And, that would mean if I would though that I'd only end up working 2 days that week, which would be pretty awesome. But then I get no production bonus for all those days that I didn't work, so I'd be have a really short paycheck, and that's just not cool. That's just not cool, man. No can do. but as it stands, I'm only working 3 days that week anyway. So because of the holiday and taking off for 9/11, never want to forget. Anyway. Yeah, the drummer for AC/DC. There was a murder for hire charge against him, but apparently they had dropped it. I thought he'd seen some, but he was arrested for something else, apparently. Let's just look up Phil Rudd. Phil Rudd is his name. Do-do-do-do-do. 72 now. Let's look up Wikipedia on Phil Rudd. three stints. That he did. I want to say he was the original. Oh, wait a minute. Rudd. He was the only Australian-born member of the band? I did not realize that. I didn't realize the rest of them were not born in Australia. I knew they were an Australian band. Maybe I knew that at one point. I'm sure I saw behind the music of them back in the day. Let's see here. Wikipedia, I would think, would have more on the arrests. There was a drug conviction in 2010. No big deal. I mean, he's a fucking musician. Of course, he's going to dabble with some drugs. let's see here. Death threats and drug charges. November 6th of 2014, Rudd was arrested and charged with attempting to procure a murder, threatening to kill, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of cannabis following a police raid on his home in New Zealand. The charge of attempting to procure a murder was withdrawn the following day, April of that 2015. He pleaded guilty to the remaining charges with the exception of one of the two threatening to kill charges, which was dropped. His ongoing legal problems led to the recruitment of AC/DC's former drummer Chris Slade in time for the band's Rock or Bust World Tour. Yada, yada, yada. There was another arrest in July of 2018, or 2015, sorry. Rudd was sentenced to 8 months home detention in order to pay $120,000 in reparation. His appeal, he discharged. Oh, I guess that's over the same charges. No, so I guess I knew it. I thought he went to jail though over, but I guess it was over the same situation. But was saddened that, like, he wasn't actually they dropped the charge, the murder for hire charges, because I mean that sounds cooler, you know. I mean, even though it's like I'm not promoting murder for hire. Pretty awful thing to hire someone to murder somebody, but it just makes for worse story that was like, oh, that, I guess there wasn't much to the murder for hire thing. I always find it funny when seeing stories where somebody attempts to, you know, pay somebody to murder another person, and it always, and it turns out to be an informant or you know, the FBI sting or whoever putting on a sting. They're like, oh shit, oh, I thought you were gonna kill my wife. Well, can you still kill her? If I I'll go to jail, you still. I love it when, I think the point I'm getting at is I love murder for hire that goes wrong. That's the part I enjoy, is when the person hiring for the murderer is gets, you know, the one that gets fucked in the end. That's the beautiful part. And you get the, you know, they have recorded conversations. Very much a Tiger King situation with, you know, of course, what is his real name? Oh, fuck. It's been so long since COVID, you know, and watching Tiger King as Joe Exotic. What his real name though was man. Fuck. He is. I'm trying to find his real. Joe Shrive, Shrivevogel? I thought his went by like Manta something or something, like some very Italian sounding name. I guess he had like four names. Fuck. Now I gotta know, is Joe Exotic still, I imagine he's still in jail, but there is, of course, you know, the, do release date. When is his release date? 2036. Apparently he was just transferred to a prison in Kentucky. We got a while, I guess, another 10 years before we could, if he stays in the full time. Maldonado. That's what is, what a name I was thinking. Maldonado. I mean, it sounds Italian-ish. I think I'm killing the tigers was the worst part, but the Carol Baskin shit is just funny to me. And he really got set up into that whole murder for hire thing. It's because those the people in there really put him up to it. Like, he wasn't, I don't think, he was fucking with Carol Baskin all the time, but I don't think he really wanted to kill Carol Baskin. I could be wrong. It's been many years now since I've watched any of Tiger King. Damn, that whole bit with at the funeral for his husband is still like the greatest part of the Tiger King, where of course he talks about his husband's balls and how beautiful they were in front of his mother at the funeral. He's giving this fucking eulogy and talking about how beautiful his balls were. It's very, I don't know, Jerry Springer-esque. Sure, I got, you know, a soft spot for that. I used to watch a lot of Springer in the back of the day. the late, great Jerry Springer, which I always think of when I think of the Springer is the when they'd have the Klan on there, which at the time, you know, the Klan was a bit of a joke at the time. Whereas, you know, now it's more, you know, the racists are kind of winning again. So it's not, I guess, as much of a joke. You got to take them seriously these days. But Springer days, it was, they were just silly. And I remember them going on Springer and like given, there was like a noose one time. I don't remember if it was the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. They gave it to him, but they were like, fuck you, Jerry. Die, you dirty Jew, and would say shit like that. Jerry's response was always just like deadpan and just would just go along. You know, he was just like, I think he might have gotten pissed off at him a few times, but Springer was the man. Anyway, constantly there was a Jerry, you Jew bastard. And they were just the outfits. I don't know how. I think the outfits, you know, maybe back in the day when they were, you know, murdering people a lot, that the outfit was a little more scary. But it's always been a bit of a silly outfit. You get the hat with the pointy hat. You guys look fucking ridiculous. Also, you're fucking scumbags. But, you know, this. I do recall when I was a child, though, where the Klan was still had a presence around. I imagine they're still around here. I don't go like looking for Klan rallies. But I do recall, I guess in the late 80s, early 90s, because I know I was a kid. And they were stopping people at an intersection here in town in Washington, Missouri. They had a newspaper that they were distributing at an intersection, just stopping people like, hey, just like, you know, the Lions Club or whoever, just taking donations. I don't know if they were taking donations, but they were handing out their fucking racist rag. And my dad, who, you know, he was a scumbag, let's just say, for the most, in a lot of ways. He had some positive things to him. And this moment, you know, I don't think he said anything to him, but he did not like racism and nor the Klan. And he did not take their paper. I don't remember him. He would at times choose times to like really flip out on people, but I don't think it was at that moment. That maybe just the fact that we were driving and he just wanted to get where the fuck he was going, just like. But I do remember them just stopping people. I wish I remembered it better. Very strange. And around that same time too, the Klan had adopted a highway near here, and because you can adopt it. I don't know if they still do that. But there was, at the time, you could adopt part of a highway and just have, like, your name or your organization, you know, business to your stretch of the highway. So basically, like, advertising, you know, when you adopt the highway thing. And the Klan did that. But the thing is, when you do that, you're supposed to keep that, your section of the highway, clean. The Klan didn't do any of the cleaning part. They just wanted the advertising of their of their name up there. And people kept stealing the sign. Every time they put up a new one, people kept you know, doing the Lord's work and stealing the Ku Klux Klan adopt a highway sign. And then the fact that they had to keep spending money to replace that sign, and then the fact that the Klan did not clean the highway there, which I would think that, you know, it's probably good on their part. Like, who in the Klan, you know, the whole thing, the majority of the Klan, I don't know, maybe they're more open about it now and just don't bother wearing the hoods. But could you imagine, like, the Klan just out there in their pointy hats in incognito, cleaning the highway, how well that would go over. I would imagine people would be chucking bottles and all kinds of shit at them, like seeing if they can hit that pointy hat, hit them in the skull with whatever, you know. Not that I'm encouraging violence, but, you know. Anyway, it would have been, you know, quite a mess had they actually gone out there. And then, but they were able to, you know, go ahead and cancel their adopt a highway. Whoever, I guess that's through the state or the Parks and Rec, whoever was, you know, running that program. which actually, I am quite curious. Just look up a Ku Klux Klan adopt a highway. Highway. Well, there's Adopt a Highway movie. I guess they still do this. Let's see here. Ku Klux Klan. Here we go. This is, must have spelled it wrong. Oh, yeah, I spell clan with a C. Duh, it's KKK, Josh. All right. Yeah, back in 2005, that's how long ago that was. I was an adult, but I was a young adult. I was a YA at the time. It was the U.S. Supreme Court that allowed the KKK to adopt a highway. This is an article from the time. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled Monday that Missouri cannot keep the Ku Klux Klan from the state's Adopt-a-Highway program, which initially they tried to do. The dispute is over a half a mile or so of Highway 21 near Potosi. I don't think I drove on it at the time. The KKK chapter was turned down because the program bans groups that discriminate based on race or those that courts have said have a history of violence. Klan sued and won on grounds that it had a First Amendment free speech right to participate. The state said in its appeal to the Supreme Court that it didn't want motorists thinking the state had anything good to say about a horrific racist group. Some states backed the appeal, saying those that didn't want to partner with the Klan might have to end up abandoning their own cleanup programs. The Supreme Court set aside that appeal, but the Klan might have a hard time proving they've adopted the highway. After past court victories, the signs that the state put up saying the KKK had adopted the road were quickly stolen. There's an article about it in the Adopt-a-Highway program on Wikipedia. Let's see what it just says about the Adopt-a-Highway program. The Adopt-a-Highway program and the very similar sponsor a highway are promotional campaigns undertaken by the U.S. states, a few provinces, and territories of Canada. I didn't know they did it up north. Up in Canada, eh? And some national governments outside North America to encourage volunteers to keep a section of a highway free from litter in exchange for regular litter removal. An organization such as Cub Scouts or Knights of Columbus is allowed to have its name posted on a sign on a section of the highways they maintain. Where's the stuff about the Klan? Oh, here we go. The Adopt-a-Highway program allows any organization to participate, which became a point of controversy when the Ku Klux Klan adopted a portion of Interstate 55. According to this, it was said Highway 21 and the other. Interstate 55, just south of St. Louis, Missouri. While legally the program had to uphold the group's rights to participate, public outcry and repeated destruction of its sign was a cause of concern. In November of 2000, the section of highway was designated as the Rosa Parks Freeway after the famous civil rights figure. Hell yeah. KKK sponsorship was later dropped from the program for the group's failure to fulfill its obligations, and the Missouri Department of Transportation adopted specific criteria to prohibit hate groups from future participation. However, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that any attempt to bar the Klan from participation in the Adopt-a-Highway program on the basis of the group's purpose is a violation of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court declined to hear the case, so the ruling stood. Then in 2001, South Dakota denied participation to a gay and lesbian organization. Governor Bill Janklow eventually allowed the group to participate, but had sponsor names removed from all Adopt-a-Highway signs in the state. Oh, and then that's kind of shitty. Like, you're going to... They end up allowing it with the Klan for at least a little while. And then the gay and lesbian group were like, nope, sorry. What the fuck? Then in 2005, the American Nazi Party adopted a stretch of the rural Sunnyview Road northeast outside Salem, Oregon. Two signs were put up along the road that bore the names of the American Nazi Party and National Socialist Movement. The signs, which cost $500 and were almost immediately subject to vandalism, there we go, doing the Lord's work again, people. Hell yeah. Have since been removed. The American Nazi Party's chair, Rocky J. Suheda, claimed to have no association with the Adopt a Highway program. Good Lord, I didn't realize this just kept going. There's more. In 2009, the state of Missouri renamed a section of highway after Rabbi Abraham. Oh, okay. That's Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, because it had been adopted by a neo-Nazi group. Heschel had fled the Nazis' advances in Europe and became a prominent theologian and civil rights advocate in the United States before his death in 72. Rabbi Heschel's daughter opposed this decision. So I guess they were like, fuck you, neo-Nazis. Well, that's so. There's been fight back after this, but there's more. There's in 2012, the International Keystone Knights of the KKK submitted an application to adopt a stretch of Georgia State Route 515. The Georgia Department of Transportation denied the application. Okay. I thought they were going to say, like, there was another instance where they greenlit it. They were cited safety concerns in the hate group's history. Again, I was like I was saying, I would imagine if the Klan got out there and was cleaning a highway, they'd get pegged with all kinds of shit. And in 2012, PennDOT accepted a Adopt a Highway sponsorship along a portion of Interstate 376 in Pittsburgh from a local strip club located in downtown Pittsburgh. Okay, that's pretty funny. According to PennDOT, officials, strip clubs are permitted, along with any other business, to sponsor such projects, since it keeps the roads clean and saves taxpayers money. Despite the sponsorship, the program does not send strippers to clean the roads. That's a shame. But rather sends workers from the state paid for by the club to clean the highways. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, see, I was thinking maybe you had to go out, but they're paying for the workers, whoever sponsors that. Okay. Economically, the program may be viewed as a way of getting around regulations prohibiting billboards next to a highway, and on a per-view basis is more economical than billboards. Yeah, which, yeah, again, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's advertising for your business. So that's, anyway, yeah, I need to pause for a sec. Get a drink of water. Whew, much better now. Much better. I got some hydration in the throat. Oh, no. I got kind of had to clear it. I got to clear it. Oh, I paused to clear. Feel a little bit better there. So, yeah. Yeah. Adopt a highway. Still a thing, apparently. I don't really pay attention to that on roads. Their advertising isn't working on me, apparently. I don't drive on highways that often anymore. Mainly just the rural roads. I guess the big news I did this week, I don't know, big news. The thing that I did this week that was I spent a lot of time doing. It's not really news. I did get around to beating Metal Gear Solid Delta, the Snake Eater, the remake of the Metal Gear Solid 3. And, I mean, you know, it was good. I hadn't played the game in like 20 years, so it was cool to go back and play it. I mean, the graphics are a lot better. It's great to hear David Hayter as Snake again, as I was, you know, very saddened when Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, and there was no David Hayter, that they recast Snake, which, spoiler alert, if you haven't played Metal Gear Solid 5, which has been out for many years now, was it like 10 years ago it came out? I don't even know. It was a while ago. You find out it's not actually Snake, or it would have been Big Boss at the time, but it turns out it's a clone. spoiler alert. So, you know, from that angle, you go, of course it's not David Hayter. David Hayter, Snake, Big Boss. I'm not doing a very good hater today, but David Hayter. That will always be the voice of Snake to me in Metal Gear. That is the voice I expect to hear. When I play Snake's voice in my head, it's fucking David Hayter. Now, I do like Kiefer Sutherland. You know, that is, of course, who, you know, replaced him in Metal Gear Solid 5. And I really enjoyed my favorite Call of Duty still is World at War. And Mr. Kiefer Sutherland does a voice. I don't remember the character's name in there, but he does a voice in there, and it sounds fantastic. Kiefer Sutherland, great voice. But I will forever hear Mr. David Hayter as Snake, much akin to, you know, there's stories coming out there. There's new Nightmare on Elm Streets that are, I guess, in pre-production. I don't think that they're actually, I don't know that they're in full production, but there's talk of these new Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Of course, Robert Englund is like pushing 80, I think. He's getting up there. But forever for me, it will always be, Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. It is emblazoned into my brain. Of course, I'm getting pretty old now myself at 45. And the original Nightmare on Elm Street came out when I was what, like 4 or something. So for like 40 years, it's been Robert Englund's voice as Freddy Krueger. Even though there was that Jackie Earle Haley trash film, it was a bad movie. I think, you know, it's possible you could do a Nightmare on Elm Street with a different actor and be decent. But, I mean, it's always, you're never going to beat the Wes Craven directed original Nightmare on Elm Street. Sorry, it's just not a thing. It's just not going to happen. Not to me, at least. In my heart of hearts, it will be Robert Englund. Much like David Hayter as Snake. But I did enjoy going back through and playing the Metal Gear Solid Delta. And I had really had kind of forgotten some of the bosses, most of the bosses, I guess. I remembered, of course, the boss and that final battle where there's like the flowers in the field and you're fighting her. I remembered that battle and the visuals at the end. And my favorite boss fight of probably the whole Metal Gear is the sniper battle with the end, which... he's a decrepit old soldier. That is, I just love the whole thing. You have the end of get. He's I don't know that they specify how old he is, but he's like they're just even when they're just like talking about him like before the battle, like oh he's gonna die any second now. He's, but apparently a really great sniper. The fight is pretty great because you can skip the fight altogether. You can there's a scene early in Snake Eater to where you can see the end from afar, and you can just if you picked up the sniper rifle already, you can just take him out and avoid the fight altogether. There's some other when you get to the air, you fight the end. There's some other battle that takes place, but it's some just normal soldiers, I think, that appear. But you can take them out with a sniper rifle. It was pretty great to avoid the whole battle. And then, of course, you do that, and then there's a couple of ways you can just really fuck with that fight. Again, he's really super old. His eyes bulge out of his head. He's kind of... it's basically like just a sniper duel. When you go to the fight and you, again, didn't like kill him in advance, you can just like crawl through and he's fairly easy to sneak up on. And if you can just figure out where he's at, you can use the directional mic and stuff to like hear him because he keeps saying like, this is the end and whatnot. And you can see his parrot and like, he's usually pretty close by where the parrot is. Well, I think the parrot actually just stays in like one place, but again, yeah, use the directional mic. That's what I was using and fighting him. At least this Metal Gear Solid Delta, the remake stuff. Anyway, during the battle, you can just save it in the middle of the battle and then either change the time in your system to a week ahead, just 1 week. Again, this guy's like old and decrepit. His last goal is he wants to kill you in battle. That's his one goal. And we did it by winning this battle, you deny him of that. But at least I guess he gets one last battle. But it does kind of feel dirty, you know, doing in a decrepit old man. Although maybe it's mercy. I don't know. Anyway, you can, of course, set the time on your system to 1 week ahead. And then when you start the reload your save there, he will have just died of old age to beat it. It's one of those funny little things they put in Metal Gear. And then Snake, admit, like on his codec, gets on the radio and talks about how he's disappointed that you did not honor this soldier by giving him like a real fight. Of course, you could also, instead of just changing the time in the system, just wait a week to play it again, load it up, and he's dead. Which is pretty epic. I do rather enjoy that. I really enjoy that. That they put that in there. I did this time around in my first playthrough. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't because you get. I failed. I needed to hit a couple more things to really get some good unlocks. I did get some unlocks from not like killing anybody. I think there was a few things that most of the stuff I unlocked from the first playthrough is just from doing a playthrough, finishing the game. They have a lot of camos that I don't think were in the original when you played it. This one, I think, adds quite a few little things to the whole game. As far as like, there was again, it's been like 20 years, 20 plus years since I played the original. I know that at least in probably all the Metal Gear games, like you get the tuxedo for completing the game, which I had gotten the Delta off of Amazon, the physical copy, because it was only like, was it even, it was 25 or 30 bucks? I want to say it was 25. And it came with some exclusive content. There was quite a few, several camos that I could use that give you benefits. There was a white tuxedo, which I didn't use any of those camos because if you use the special camos, it you can't get a lot of unlocks. It works against you when you use that in a playthrough. So I wanted to get like at least one playthrough where I wasn't like using these items that kind of help you cheat. But the addition I got did have several camos that gave you beneficial things to it. One thing I had forgotten about the Fury. I definitely remembered. Of the boss fights, I mainly just kind of remembered. I kind of remembered Volgan-ish, who is kind of the big bad. Where the boss is, of course, the final boss fight is the boss, and but she's not really, when you find out, she's not really the bad. She was doing a double spy situation. She was a double agent, if you will, and she wasn't exactly a bad person, or she wasn't going against Snake. She was really for Snake, and but he had to kill her in the end. Anyway, the Volgan was, I guess, more of the big bad. But the Fury is the real bitch of the fights in there, and I had forgotten about the Fury. The Fury is, of course, the guy. He was like an astronaut. He's got like an astronaut suit on, and he's got this jetpack that he uses, and he uses a flamethrower. And he's just a fucking bitch. It took me way too many days to beat the Fury. I was getting to the point where, like, I might have to stop playing this game. The Fury was really pissing me off. And I did all the bosses non-lethally, too, because I knew that you would get there's special camos for each boss that you take down non-lethally. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't kill any of them. Had I used lethal means to take him out, it probably would have been a lot easier because he was fairly easy to do real damage to. I can do the fight. I should be able to do the fight pretty easily now that I've done it a bunch of times and I know just the spots to really, really go to take him out. Because like when I finally did take him out, I did it fairly easy, but it just in that round. But I had done it too many times, too many times before I really got it down. And I was watching YouTube videos to see how people had done it. It's just a pain because when he lights you on fire with the flamethrower, Snake falls on the ground and then you can't just get away. That's one of the most annoying parts of that game. I imagine it was like that in the original game, but honestly, I don't remember. It's been like 20 plus years. You know, I remember things about the game, but I don't remember the gameplay as much. I remember the whole camo system and the fact that you had to eat snakes and other animals to gain stamina. I remember that, which I always thought was annoying. I mean, it's kind of cool they put that in there, but it's fucking annoying, honestly. My favorite Metal Gear is Metal Gear Solid 1, the OG. Well, I guess of the Solid era, of course, there is Metal Gear on the NES and Snake's Revenge as well on the NES, which I do have a special love for that, for the NES. But that game, I remember Snake's Revenge as much. That one, I think, was kind of put out really not involving Kojima. I don't think he really wanted to put that one out. The original is fucking great, but hard as fuck. Hard as fuck. Anyway, when I think of like the greatest Metal Gear game of all time, it is by far Metal Gear Solid 1. That game is fucking amazing. The story to it, the graphics look pretty rough nowadays, but that game is just fucking fantastic. And it's just fantastic. I mean, Metal Gear Solid 2 is great. Of course, Part 4, fantastic. Love seeing old Snake, but my all-time favorite is, of course, MGS1 and David Hayter, Otacon. For some reason, that's like the only the word, the name that I can say that I can kind of sound like David Hayter,
Otacon, Meryl.
That kind of helps get me the just saying the names. I wish they would do like there's a fan remake of MGS1 and it looks pretty solid. But I wish Konami would put out a legit version, legit remake of MGS1. MGS1, of course, the fan, I don't know that. Fan remake, it's using Unreal Engine. It's a free playable tribute. Oh, it's a demo. I thought it was like they had a full on. Full on version. But I guess it's just the demo. It looks really. I've seen it. That says demo, though, for quite a while. Let's see here. That's do. Oh, it's on, or there's fan remake. Oh, that is in Spanish. I can't read that. No habla español. Damn it. I don't know if they still have a spot where you can play it, but there was, I guess, oh, here's for DSO Gaming for download. Oh, here we go. This is on DSOGaming.com. New Metal Gear Solid fan remake available for download. Here's something cool for our Metal Gear Solid fans. This is on August 7th, so this is a new article. YouTube's Maxime Thomas Ledior has released a fan remake of the first Metal Gear Solid game. As the YouTuber noted, this remake is not intended to be a recreation of the entire game. Instead, it is a tribute that includes a tutorial level, two levels from the original game, and all the boss fights from it. Ooh, the boss fights. That's where it's at. In other words, this isn't a project that simply has maps from an old game in a new engine. It has proper gameplay mechanics. This alone makes it feel better than the majority of the fan remakes we've shared. And look, I know this may be disappoint some fans who wanted a full remake, but let's be realistic here. A full remake of the first MGS by a single developer is an impossible task. Yeah, I would think so, man. Even MGS1, I mean, had a lot of people hands on deck by that point. That was a PlayStation 1 game. This still took a massive team to develop that. A full remake of that, So look at it from the bright side. It is at least has enough content for those who want to get a taste of what MGS would look like on a modern-day engine. What's interesting here is that this fan remake is built on Unity Engine. This isn't another UE5 Unreal Engine 5 fan remake. You can go ahead and download it here, which there's a link. Is it just downloading automatically? There is, oh shit. let's see here. Download that shit. Oh, 3 gigabytes. I'm going to have to try this. Allow. Better communication. I'm seeing about trying to do this. I hit allow. Is it downloading? Oh, it's downloading. Sweet. I am downloading it. So maybe I can give. I won't be able to do it on this podcast. It's already too late in the game for me to give rundown. It's apparently taking a while to download. I'm downloading the fan remake. What's sad is it's going to give me just a taste. MGS1 is my favorite boss battle. I can't remember the name of the guy. He's like a native Alaskan, I think. He's got the big thing on his back. I'm going to have to get. He's got a massive weapon he's holding. Let's see, find his name. Bosses. Let's see here. Let's get the boss guides. Which the boss. There's so much good stuff on MGS1. Of course, Revolver Ocelot. He has, like, Snake Eater, you get Revolver Ocelot, but he doesn't have that grizzled voice that he does in, like, MGS 1 and 2. He's a young man in there. A Vulcan. Is it Vulcan? No. Vulcan Raven. Yeah. Vulcan Raven is the character I was thinking of, which he's got, like, a big-ass minigun that he uses. And you run around, there's these boxes everywhere that are, you know, high enough to where he can't see you. You can run around. And there's a missile launcher, was it the Nikita missile launcher? That you can guide it, like, basically like flying a drone and guide it into hitting him, the Nikita launcher. And it's just, I don't know, I love that boss fight. Sniper Wolf, too. Sniper Wolf is, which really, man, I remember all of the boss fights in MGS1. Revolver Ocelot, where he's ricocheting all the bullets and shit. So I guess I shouldn't feel too bad about my memory. It's just that, because Psycho Mantis, of course, I remember he can read your mind, and the whole thing to avoid him to do that, because he will kick the shit out of you by reading your mind, your movements and shit. The trick to beating him was to put your controller in the second player port so he couldn't read your mind. It was feckin' fantastic. Feckin' fantastic. And, of course, Liquid Snake. Of course, you're going to remember Liquid, which I can't do a Liquid voice. That sounded almost Trumpian how he said Liquid. Anyway. I forgot the voice actor that did Liquid. But Sniper Wolf, fucking fantastic fight. Sniper Wolf and Vulcan Raven are like my two favorite boss fights out of MGS1. But I mean, Revolver Ocelot, I mean, the voice actor talent that is in the original MGS1, which really all throughout, they've got great voice actors. I guess I'd say MGS Delta. Even, I mean, they're using the original actors from Snake Eater. I mean, Revolver Ocelot, again, doesn't have that great grizzled voice, of course. So how would he have that as like a 20-year-old or however young he's supposed to be in there? But I love the, you know, the grizzled old Revolver Ocelot voice. But like, you know, there's like Boss, her voice is okay. I mean, like, it's not bad, but like the voice talent in the original MGS1 is just top notch. You still get, you know, in MGS3, you get of course David Hayter, which is the important one.
Otacon.
Anyway. I'm not even halfway done on this download. So, yeah, I got estimated 22 minutes. Like, holy shit. It's only 3 gigs for a file. Like, what is going on with my internet here? I did have last night, my internet was out for a while. Maybe I need to reset my router or something. But I am getting some slow fucking download speeds. But again, maybe it's their server that's I'm downloading this off of, or they're just, you know, they got a lot of traffic downloading this fan remake of MGS1. Remake-ish. Again, is the boss fights and a couple of levels. I just want to see the boss fights are pretty great. I mean, just fighting Liquid at the end, or the, you know, Vulcan Raven, Sniper Wolf, just fantastic shit. And the cyborg ninja, Gray Fox, is it? shit's pretty epic. I'd love to see them do, you know, like an MGS solid, you know, Metal Gear Solid sort of upgrade to the original NES titles. Again, Kojima wouldn't be involved, so I guess they couldn't do it, you know, or do it proper. Doing the remake, which I feel like they honored Kojima, but they basically just took the original game, added a few things to it. Whereas if you did that with the original NES, the story's there, but I mean, you didn't have the voice acting. There would be a lot more involved if you were to take the original Metal Gear, not Metal Gear Solid, but Metal Gear off the NES. There would be a lot more work involved. But I would love to have a more polished version of that story of Snake taking on Big Boss. It would be pretty fucking great in just a newer form. Even though right now I am going, I'm feeling more of just going back to retro gaming considering how Sony is going with doing away with physical media and just trying to jack up the prices on everything and then do subscription based on all of this shit, which really has soured me on wanting to do anything with GTA 6, which, again, I haven't bought any Grand Theft Autos since San Andreas, other than, well, when it was new, when there was a, because I did buy Vice City off on the PlayStation 4 or 5, one of them. It wasn't when they remastered either. I bought the original Vice City because it was on sale on the PlayStation Network. but yeah, they seem like they just want to rake people over the coals to play that fucking game. There's going to be some subscription-based shit. And it's just going to be fucking nickel and dime you for everything. And but I'm really enjoying going back and playing, like, the sort of playing an old game. The MGS Delta came out, like, only a year ago, if that. Maybe 11 months ago. Right at about a year ago-ish. And, but it is a retro game, you know. And I've thought about getting, there's the M64. I can't remember if I talked about it recently on the podcast. Maybe I did. But the M64, much like it's a newer version of the Nintendo 64, that, of course, it does have, like, Wi-Fi. You can connect it, of course, to the internet via Wi-Fi, or I guess you can hardwire it too. And you can update the system and whatnot, but it plays the old N64 games, and they're putting out new Nintendo 64 games for this system. It's got wireless remotes that apparently these remotes for the M64 are really solidly made controllers. It's Mod Retro, I think, that put out the M64, and it looks cool. I mean, it's... yeah, I did. Yeah, I do recall now talking about it this before on the podcast, but being able to just have, because I thought about buying some modded out N64s, like the actual N64, off of Etsy, where people have modded, putting in the internal HDMI mods to the system, to where now, of course, you can use an HDMI output to hook up the systems. They've done you can get some really cool shit as far as those modded out 64s are concerned off Etsy. And but the Mod Retros put out a whole system that is they've upgraded the system quite it seems pretty sweet. It is really tempting. I want to say it's like right at $200. They have released it. I think the last time I talked about it, it wasn't quite released yet. But the M64, man, it is a highly tempting, Let's look that up. M64, man, M64. Do 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 Mod Retro. It is $230. Now, that doesn't come with any games or controllers, I do not believe. What's included is, of course, the console itself, a 16-gigabyte SD card, pre-installed, multi-region power adapter, and a power cable. Controller required, sold separately, but, you know, if you have your original N64 controllers, you can plug those in, which I do have. Their controllers look pretty fucking sweet, though. Which they've got a wired controller and a pro controller that is wireless. So basically, they've made like the old Nintendo 64 controller, which is only $30. And then the pro controller is at $90 a pop. Their system's gone with the translucent system, so you can see the innards. Much like the last iterations of the Nintendo 64 that were put out, they had made them all translucent, the later models of the system. Anyway, man, it's pretty tempting to get that. There are rumors that Sega is going to put out its own, like, retro system to where you can play all the old Sega games. I haven't heard anything from Sega itself, just watching YouTube videos. That there are thoughts, there are people, theories that Sega might put out some system where you can play a lot of the old various Sega games via, you know, from like the Genesis, the 32X, Sega CD, the Master System. There are people, it's the the theories are out there that maybe that might be a thing. Although, then again, you know, this might be the time for Sega to rise again with a new console, when Sony is just like, fuck you all, you're not going to own your games anymore. You're going to just pay a subscription to basically stream shit is basically where they're going. And which I'm saying, fuck you to Sony. I don't want to go down that route to where I don't own any of my own shit, which really is, I guess, not just Sony. It's kind of where just computers, consoles, the whole bit is going, that you don't own anything anymore. Where because of this AI bullshit stealing all of the memory and making it obscenely expensive to get memory and just other components to create computers and consoles, we're having to, the consumer market is just dealing with shittier equipment because AI is gobbling up all of the fucking shit, all of the resources. So we're just going to be basically renting everything from them and paying way more for shit than we should because they are just using it on these fucking data centers. Anyway, I could rant on that for hours. The whole thing is disgusting. But, you know, maybe Sega could create a console. Again, they're going to run into the problem, though, that it's all the parts to create a console are going to be super expensive because of the AI bullshit. But you know, maybe they create some sort of new console that I know there is. I had heard, I had, it's been a while, I don't know the details on it. I know that there were CD-esque discs, you know, that have way more memory. I know that was, at least people had been working on it. You know, perhaps we will see a day when the memory on a disc again will be enough to hold like a really massive game, as opposed to just downloading it. That'd be so amazing, you know, to have that happen again. And then to just be able to plug and play, man. Plug and play. Fuck all this, like, I'm going to buy one game a year and then basically have to pay for like new content all the time, essentially doing a subscription every fucking month to play that one goddamn game. To where, you know, you can pay a set price for a game and then just like try new games, maybe even like rentals again. That would be amazing. That you could like physical, oh, I doubt we'll ever see that day and age again. But to have like rental stores where you go in, like a Blockbuster situation, oh, a boy can dream. A 45-year-old boy can dream. I miss the days of just going to Blockbuster-ish. But I only went and bought shit from Blockbuster because it was like a half an hour drive for me. I would usually only just buy shit from Blockbuster. But, you know, there were plenty of other video store rentals here in town that I would go to and rent shit. Movie Palace was the big one here that lasted one of the longest running ones, and it had quite a big inventory. And Charlie Brown's was another big one. And man, it would be kind of cool to have like rental stores like that once again, having like physical things instead of like fucking streaming everything. Anyway, just being able to like games being cheaper and like having physical copies, again, a plug and play situation. Like, I don't even need the rentals so much. Just to be able to just buy more games and, you know, with a cheaper price. And again, not having to wait, you know, an hour or two to download the fucking thing. Which, hey, I'm at 72% now. The downloads have sped up. I only have 8 minutes. 9 minutes. It's gone up. It's saying for the download. I'll try to remember to give an update on my own thoughts of this fan-made MGS1 remake-ish. Because, again, not the full game. But, yeah, I guess that's really all I've got. As I don't want to rant all night about how fucked up this AI situation is and what have you. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.